Hi, I'm Andrew Smith, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
ATV Services in association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 99 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam.
I'm Alicia.
I'm Blake.
I'm Isabella.
Yeah, that was Isabella saying it very quietly. And we have Mr. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Good morning.
Mr.
Afternoon,
Reese.
Evening, whenever you're listening.
I'm bonkers.
Yeah, that's Mr. Reese Barton. And Mr. Ben Shoveler.
I'm a flake.
Eh?
Oh. Hi.
99.
I get it.
I don't.
Mr. Whippy! Mr. Whippy ice creams, we have them in America.
And Australia. Don't forget Australia. There's two countries.
Yeah, but
in
Australia, they're in the future, so they're probably not called 99 flakes anymore.
Because
of inflation.
For Reese, then, this is actually probably episode 103.
Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Completely Surreal podcast.
Yes, indeed.
What's that mean?
I'm lost already.
We're going to do feedback and stuff later on in the show. Where we had Alicia, Alicia's now going to demonstrate the art book, because she's doing English GCSE, of reading stuff. And this is her, she's now going to demonstrate that she can read the charts. Hope you don't mind, Ben, because I know this is normally your fault. Let's just see whether it's worth it. Go on. Yeah, remember what I said, Alicia, in reverse order. If you lean forward, so you might be able to see it. There it
so
is.
So where do I start
from? Well, at the bottom of the list and work your way up.
So 30.
Don't put your cup there, you just knock the microphone. Go on. Yeah. And this says exactly as it says along the line. Go on.
Yeah, but I can't read half these words.
Just get on with it.
Okay.
Half of them include the words doctor and who. That's tricky. And if you take it one more stab, we'll go.
Some of them include podcasts.
Yeah.
All right.
Half of them will go the. It's just like the.
Ah! Please.
Just to point out before she does start this.
Yes.
That the wife's just put another casserole in the oven and it'll be ready at 6 o'clock this evening, so you've got approximately 7 hours to do this before I have to go.
Yeah. Good, that's longer than
that. So I show it as being approximately, 13 hours.
Stop
and
confusing me.
4 weeks ago yesterday.
I've got 2 hours, yes, I have to be out by one.
Yeah, right, well, right. Let's crack on here. Get and read the bimming charts, come on.
Okay.
Should we reconvene at one?
Shh.
All right. It's easy. Start at the bottom, work your way up.
At number 30, re-entry, The Voice of the Gallifrey from Russia. At 29, re-entry, Tim's Take On. 28, down 6, The Sonic Toolbox. What are these names?
I don't know, get on
They're
with
really
it.
They're really weird. At 27, down 6, Drunken Time Travel. I missed the number.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't. I'm reading it with you, so carry on.
Well, what am I on now?
26.
What?
26.
Yeah. Yeah, I just said 26.
No, you didn't say 27, said down 6.
Did I?
Yes, you said 27, down 6, Drunken Time Travel.
Okay. At 26, re-entry, does that say Talos or Tylos?
Telos.
Telos AM. At 25, down 5, Earth Station 1. At 24, re-entry, the
Cloister Room.
The Cloister Room.
Bong.
At 23, down 4, the Coldum Collective.
Yeah, I spelt that wrong as well, so you did really particularly well on that one.
Yay! At 22, up to the Galley Cast.
Yeah.
The Galley Cast from France. Did I speak in French then?
I would imagine so, carry on.
I just burped. At 21, re-entry the Untempered
Schism.
Untempered schism.
You're
doing
a GCSE in speaking as well.
Yeah, I'll have to take a GCSE in English voice and language.
I do believe that untempered and schism are in the English dictionary, so carry on.
Yeah, at number 20, down 4, Travelling the Vortex. At 19, re-entry the Who Cast from Germany. At 18, re-entry the Time Meddlers. At 17, re-entry the Time Vault. This is tiring.
Get on with it.
At 60, re-entry, the Articles of the Shadow Proclamation.
Blimmin' heck, you tried. That was all right. Come on. Round of applause for Alicia.
The word you're looking for isn't tiring, Alicia.
15.
At 15, at 3, the Happiness Patrol.
Oh, you said that wrong, didn't she, Ben? How was it?
She did, yes.
How was it supposed to be said?
But we'll let her off. 15 or 14 or whatever she is. How old are you? 13, yeah.
Who? I am 14.
Number 14.
At number 14, non-mover, 2-minute Time Lord. At 13, non-mover, the TARDIS Tavern. At 12, re-entry...
Waffle, that's like what you do, waffle on podcast.
Waffle on podcast. At number 11, re-entry, Bad Wolf. At number 10, re-entry,
and
Who's the Man?
And are you supposed to embellish this? Hang on. And we move into the big top 10 at number 10. Come on.
And we move into the big top 10.
I lost interest at number 29.
At number 10, a re-entry, Who's the Man?
Reese, I think...
Shut up!
You've got a good problem with your
Shut
podcast,
Carter.
You want to try that one
again, Lisa? At 10, re-entry, Who is the Man podcast?
I want to say something about the Who is the Man podcast.
At number 9, up 1, Staggering Stories. At number 8, up 1, the Barris Project.
That's the one.
At number 7, up 5, Doctor Who, Who's He... At 6, re-entry, the Omega podcast. Ready for it? Drum roll. At number 5, up to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
You couldn't get it. Yeah. Do you want to re-say that? Cogpast?
I said podcast.
Hooray!
You know you always get hooray about. Hooray.
We're
making
up to as well. What?
Pump.
Yeah.
What was that?
That's because I'm doing a codpast.
I didn't say codpast. I said podcast. Yeah, I've got it lit.
Yeah, number 4.
At number 4.
I'm going to do this. There's only 4 to go.
Do you want me to do it really speedy or something?
No, just get on with it.
Just want you to do it, love.
At 4, we enter the Adventures of Time and Space and Music. Up 3, if possible, podcast. At 2, re-entry, the dog podcast.
The dog podcast. You're reading it too fast.
Tin Dog podcast. At 1, up 1, the Doctor Who podcast.
It was going well up to that point.
I don't think you
have to do it. It's Ben's fault, blame him.
It's just one
way. What's my fault? What are you talking about?
Illustrating why Ben normally reads out the chat.
Ben's being mean to me.
No, he's
not. Only because I stole his job, he's being mean.
No, you borrowed his job.
No, I stole it now.
To emphasise why he always...
No, because my voice is more interesting than his.
Is it?
It is.
Seriously,
he likes
I've
that.
Been awake 7 minutes and that's the funniest thing I've heard today. And I don't think it will be beaten.
Yeah. Have a funny day.
And I think you can see why now I do the charts, everybody.
Don't kill yourself. Shut up.
Are we going to have the first podcast death?
Right then, we have quite a lot of Doctor Who news this week.
Oh, I want to read it.
Oh, God, it could be a flimmin' day.
Who?
Well, go on in.
I know about that news.
No, I'm talking on this one here, look.
Who's the Doctor?
You should know that.
Who is... Isabella?
Yeah?
Who is the Doctor?
I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
Here's a Doctor, initial guide to Doctor Who, the new series. A new episode guide written by fans Graham Burke and Robert Smith. And... due to be released by Canadian publisher ECW Press in April. So that's all right for you Canadian-type people.
Oh, I know. Can I read out that bit? Because I know about that bit.
That's Production Roundup. It's always very interesting, Production Roundup.
Can I ask about that last story?
You can,
this yes. Especially for our Canadian listeners.
You can.
What's that a boot?
That's how Canadians speak. Will you stop knocking the microphone with your mug?
I don't get it.
That's because you're too young, Alicia.
That's how Canadians can't say the word about. They go a boot.
Do they?
They know it too.
They also say A.
It's like you can't say vitamin, you say vitamin. It's just a different way of saying it.
That's because it is vitamin.
It is vitamin.
Yeah.
It's vitamin.
As Jeremy Clarkson said on Top Gear last night, that's because that's how it's spelt.
Vitamin.
Check it up on the, in
it's
the
vitamin.
They do explain how phonetics work in dictionaries.
Vitamin.
Anyway, right.
In it.
Yes.
No, Alex Kingston will be shortly to be seen in upstairs, downstairs.
Yes.
And has dropped a hint that she might be returning to Doctor Who with a song during the recording that feature her appearance.
Do you want me to read this?
No! During the recording that featured her appearance on the Graham Norton show.
Yes. Good. Matt Smith has described. Sorry.
You know those things on the page? You know, they're called words. If you read them, you find they make a sentence.
I've got a list.
You'll notice that there are letters in words, too. Yes.
Well, Matt Smith has described how he's seen his future.
People know what you're saying.
Yeah, but I got a B. I got a B in my last GCSE exam for English, so it must be quite good.
Are you sure it wasn't a G?
No, it was a B. No, it was a B.
I got an A in drama
as well, so I'm quite good at speaking.
Because there is an A in drama, you just took the last letter of the word and thought that
hang on.
Argued.
If it's a B in English, you sure it wasn't read, you didn't read upside down as a P? Anyway, Matt Smith has described how he sees it.
That's not
leave
funny.
The jokes to me and don't worry.
Anyway, Matt Smith
has... Yeah, but how can you read it upside down as a P? It's just going to look like
apparently
a backwards
Matt Smith has done something.
Yes. Anyway, he's described how he sees his future in the show and how the companion's gap in the TARDIS could be filled, speaking at the NTA Awards, where he had won the most outstanding drama performance male. He said, "I'm really pleased with the award." I like the impression. "We always try to do the very best."
No, he doesn't do that.
"Try to improve
no, he
the
doesn't.
Show as best we can."
Are you trying to do staggering stories voices for the
news?
No, Eddie always, at the end of the speech, he went, "Peace out. Peace."
"I wouldn't mind a male companion now Karen has left." "Shush, I've always believed me and Karen would have different journeys in Doctor Who. I'm sad she's left."
Misha, could you read out this news?
Yeah! what bit
we're
is
up
it?
To this meanwhile. Hang on, I'm doing this back. Karen revealed.
Karen Gillan has revealed what led her leave it right. Karen Gillan has a feel what led her to leaving the show. It was a mutual decision between Stephen Moffat over a lovely dinner, actually. "We both opened up about where we were at with it and then came to the conclusion that this was the best time to go." She added that she would miss working on the programme but was looking forward to other projects. As previously reported, Karen will be appearing.
Oh, sorry, no, it says Gillan, not Gillian.
Why is it Gillian?
Yeah.
All right.
You say I'm bad.
Shut up.
And the big news is about Karen Gillan.
Yeah, she's
that
not
if
looking...
we're following our recent history of this podcast, she should be appearing with us in about 25 years' time.
Yes!
What are you doing?
Oh, that's enough of that.
I didn't finish! Let me finish.
That wasn't very interesting.
"I've had most fun, so that makes me sad to leave, and I made my best friends on the show as well. But it's time to go on other things, and all stories come to their natural end."
You put on a Scottish accent when you're doing that, Alicia, otherwise it's just not...
She struggles to put on an Isle of Wight accent when doing it.
I have got an Isle of Wight accent.
Further away.
Have I got an Isle of Wight accent?
Isn't it lunchtime yet?
No. I've had pizza already.
Oh, God.
And I've had coffee.
Pizza.
I had pizza.
I wish you wouldn't say this.
I can see it all around your face.
I've had pizza, coffee cake, and that new Cadbury chocolate thing, Bob. The bubbles.
A bit of pepperoni stuck to your face.
No, I actually had chicken and sweet corn.
That's her lips, not a pepperoni. Anyway.
Right. Sweet corn stuck up your nose?
No. God, there's lots of stuff. The Ace Adventures box set is due for release on the 7th of May.
Are you going to get that?
Yeah, well, probably for my birthday, hopefully. It contains Dragonfire, Happiness Patrol...
But you've got that.
Dragonfire and Happiness Patrol.
You've got that.
No, I haven't.
Ben,
could you say that for him?
Say what for him? Hey?
Happiness Patrol.
Oh, sorry, Happiness Patrol. Will you stop putting your mug down there? Can't you not take it off to the kitchen?
Do you want me to leave, Ready?
No, I just want you to stop banging your mug down on the table.
It's in there. My mug's right here.
Cool.
Yeah, see, he's got a mug. Why can't I have a mug?
Anyway, Revisitations 3 DVD box set is due for release a couple of days ago. No, it's today. Today, in fact, 13th of February.
Is these all the box sets are going to be released?
Yeah, it contains two of the Simon Man.
Oh, it's the day before Valentine's
with
Day.
With more extras. Three Doctors, Forever Robots of Death. All stuff we already got, but Forever not with as many
do
extras.
Do not throw hands at me.
Oh, yes, no. I'll try my best not. Oh, sorry, you're talking about the show.
Nightmare of Eden is coming out. Listen, I won't ever eat it. The Nightmare of Eden is going to come out on the 2nd of April.
There's big things on my list.
Oh, no, does that say Dominions?
Does that say Dominions? We'll try and read it quite carefully. Isabella, hang on, let's see what Alicia, Isabella says. Isabella, what does this say?
The
Aesmans.
Yeah, because the A's drawn up to the E.
Yes, because it's Daemons.
Daemons?
Or, as we call it, the Demons.
Demons. Mm-hmm. It's going to come out on the 19th of March.
Yeah, good.
Thank you.
Production roundup, the writers. Right, writing team for the next series of Doctor Who, set to return, Matt Smith, etc., etc. The new issue of Doctor Who magazine on general release from Tomorrow Reports. Excuse me, Isabella. Reports that Chris Chibnall and Toby Whithouse form part of the team under the watchful gaze of lead writer Stephen Moffat. Like a sigh of delight coming from Ben's channel.
Why don't you like Stephen Moffat?
Because he's...
You can't say it's
arrogant.
Too rude.
Yeah, there's kids in the room. And also England have just had a decision upheld, which is good because they gave Kevin Peterson out and he was never out. And it's just been reviewed, so it's all right. That's why I don't like Stephen Moffat.
Okay.
He has funny hair.
Yeah, but they join
unconfirmed
writers.
It does look like he's got slightly the wrong type of hair on his head, doesn't it?
It's just not
true,
right.
True. Yeah, that's
I wonder if he was bald until he was about 14 or 15 and then it all just grew in the wrong place.
Fair comment. But Tom Baker is also renowned for his rather dodgy...
But Tom Baker's got better hair.
He did then. Anyway, when he was in his 40s. Not so much now. He's all white as much. He's got better hair than me now, as we said in his 80s.
Yeah, because you have no hair.
No,
you've got
back. Look, bits are starting to grow back.
Yeah, you got bits starting to start grow back. Plus, you've got a ginger beard with white bits in it.
Hey, I have a ginger beard, which is bizarre because I don't have ginger hair.
Yeah, same hair. Anyway, the two writers.
You come from the Isle of Wight, and so that's what happens.
Yeah, they.
Yeah.
Shush. Now they join unconfirmed.
That means I get a ginger beard.
For God's sake.
Already got
this is another country. 1987.
Mark Gatiss and John Faye are unconfirmed writers for the new series. This new series will be Faye's first script for Doctor Who, having previously written for Tortured Children of Earth and Miracle Day.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what he comes up with.
Indeed.
I hate the Daleks come back.
I expect they probably will because they weren't in the last series very much. Oh, look at this.
I'm looking at one right now.
It's a TARDIS teapot!
Well, it's to match my TARDIS mug. It looks lovely. TARDIS teapot.
When's it coming out?
TARDIS money box. Ceramic ones, those.
When they come out?
On the 19th of March.
May.
There's a Big Chief Studios are to release a new 5-inch vinyl figure of the 10th Doctor.
It looks really good.
Slightly out of date there, because we're not currently with the 10th Doctor at the moment.
Are you not David Tennant around my house at the moment as we speak?
Is he really? Lego compatible character building collection sees the release of a new army pack of Cybermen. Don't need them because I've got so. Oh, that's got a slightly different one there, Alicia.
It's got a Batman mask on. Can I say it?
Well, look, it's a lovely Perry with shorts on. Oh, it's a plastic one. Oh, well. Carry on, Alicia.
I like that one.
That is absolutely disgusting.
What is?
Get over here. Wait. There's going to be a Perry coming out, a rogue Cyberman, and a Cyberman gun.
The attack of the Cyberman set.
The Remembrance of the Daleks. And the Seeds of Doom.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the middle of the Seeds of Doom now.
What's the Seeds of Doom?
Alicia. The crinoid looks quite good in the Seeds of Doom.
Adam?
We've seen what?
Here's some big news for you.
Oh, yes.
Wolves have sacked Mick McCarthy.
That doesn't surprise me after the weekend's...
Do you think Harry Redknapp's going to be the New England manager?
Yes.
Same here, yeah.
Yeah, but you think so, you'll probably be good.
I think he'll do all right. He'll do better than you would, reading the chart.
Yeah.
Doctor Who Magazine 444 is out.
It's William Hartmore.
Has got a picture of who?
William Hartmore.
William Hartmore?
Yeah.
William Hartmore.
I think you might have got that wrong, Alicia.
It is.
Hartnell.
Oh.
Hartnell. Not Hartmore.
It's Hartmore.
Shush.
Hartnell.
Regional
I
roundup.
I got it right.
You got it right, did you?
Yeah.
Congratulations. UK DVD. Oh, yes, about the Two Entertainer no longer going to be on DVDs. That's going to be changing back to BBC Worldwide.
What is the matter?
What are you going yes for?
Right?
Do you don't like to entertain?
Do you want to have your earphones back in so you can talk to them?
No.
Okay, right, that's fine. That's fine. I'm sure they don't really want to talk to you anyway. What have we got here? Revisitation preview clips. Don't think we need those. Oh, the Doctor Who official convention. Award-winning director Toby Haynes. Oh. Sorry, Robert. Toby Haynes will be appearing at the official Doctor Who convention next month. It has been announced.
Yeah. Ow!
Can you sit still?
That hurt.
I don't really care. Oh, I can hear voices.
Okay.
What's that for? What are those voices? That wasn't Rachel, was it?
Yep.
Ah, it wasn't funny voices, it was Rachel's voice. Right.
Now we've got the funny voices.
And it's probably rather clear. Chris Eccleston will play Crean in the National Theatre's production.
Why? He doesn't want anything
Angie
to do. Yeah, but it doesn't matter because he doesn't want anything to do with Doctor Who.
Can you spit out the sentence at some
he
point?
He doesn't want anything to do with Doctor Who, so I don't think we should mention him.
John Barrowman and his sister Carol have been on the promotion circuit for their new book. We saw, in fact, on the One Show last week. Not really. Pardon?
I'll be hiccuping, sorry.
The Royal Court Theatre in Sloane Square, London, has made Matt Smith a patron of his Young Writers Festival. Of its Aww. Young Writers Festival, I should say. That's about it, really. Catherine Tate, Ruth Jones and Kathy Burke, who had an uncredited role in Terminus early on in her career. She's probably one of the lepers in it, wasn't she? Our previous festival patrons. And that, thank you. I didn't say Cultum Collective. There was no need to burp or break wind or anything like that, like you normally
but
do.
Okay.
The Cultum Collective is mentioned.
That doesn't make... You stop trying to make jokes that are not
wasn't
funny.
A joke. It wasn't funny. It was actually the case. Anyway, right. I wanted to talk about another podcast, Ben, if that's all right.
What?
Just one.
Why? Yeah, what's the point?
Because I was listening to some... I was listening to some podcasts on Thursday whilst doing the deliveries. And
really?
I was listening to a particularly good one called the Who Is The Man podcast, which was rather astoundingly good. And it was lovely to hear your mum on it, Rhys. And your dad.
I was on there?
Hey?
Wow.
What are you talking about?
Oh, wait, that's one of the podcasts I do, yes.
Yes, one of the 576,721.
How many podcasts do you actually do?
I just said 576.
No, really?
Four and counting, I think. Anyway, yes, so, brilliant show, Rhys.
Thank you.
What episode number was that one?
40.
Right, so listeners, tune in to episode 40 of the Who's a Man podcast. And why don't you get your mum on the show more often?
She doesn't want to get on the show more often.
What are you saying?
We have to bribe her.
It's better. What are you
saying? Yeah, she was great
Everyone's
on there.
Everyone's been saying she's got a lovely voice.
Yeah, well, I think both your parents, they came across rather professional.
Professional.
Well, professional.
What are you saying, Isabella?
If anyone were getting paid for it.
They sounded like they knew that we're doing it.
Isabella trying to say something.
Go on, Isabella. What were you trying to say?
Well, they'd be the only ones then.
Nothing. Right, good, right.
They'd be the only ones knowing what they're doing.
Excuse me. We're ill.
There's a lot of coughing going
on.
Yeah,
we're ill, but I'm trying to be a bit more polite and coughing away from the microphone, unlike some other people in the room. Right then, Alicia. It's time for a synopsis, and Alicia Pearson here will demonstrate, for the sheer pleasure of Mr. M, the outline story for our review this week. What was the story called, Alicia? Long Game. You obviously didn't know the answer to that one, so not a very good start. Please continue.
What's
the Long
question?
Game. Your...
No, seriously, what was the question?
What was the title of the show we're reviewing this week?
Long Game.
Congratulations.
No, we're reviewing Doctor Who, though.
The Long Game.
The Long Game, yeah. So, go on, Alicia.
It starts out with a long game.
Please. Mm. Otherwise, I'll pass this over to Rhys.
No, I'm quite kidding at this. It's quite long, though.
Well, go on, then. Get on with it. It starts off with...
So at least I'll
the doctor.
Name.
Yeah, that's the one.
And what's his name?
Adam.
Adam, you.
Rose.
And Rose. Turn it on this like satellite kind of
and what's
place.
It called?
Satellite 5.
Right, okay, go on.
Turn up on Satellite 5 and it's really quiet and they're looking around like and then this like kind of siren goes off and it all gets busy. Everything. And then there's loads of people calling out, like, food and crap like that. And that's then... Nice. And then...
They're selling crap.
Yeah, well, they probably were. They probably didn't show those clips. And then...
In the commentary, the director said that he was directly copying Blade Runner there.
Never seen Blade Runner, so I couldn't comment on that.
What?
Sorry.
What?
What? What's Blade Runner?
Blade Runner.
No, I never seen Blade Runner.
What's Blade Runner?
It's a film.
Is it?
Mm. Sweet. Carry on. No, I said carry on doing
you
the review, not
see
the...
Blade Runner. And
then... I shall look into that then.
I won't.
I don't know what happens. And then really they kind of look at a screen and it's... They meet up with this woman, I don't know.
Yeah, what was the woman called?
A woman,
Anybody know the name of the woman? The black woman with the... With the sort of long, plaited hair.
I know the actress who plays her.
No, I want the character's
Kathika.
Name. Pardon?
Kathika.
Kathika. There we go.
Kathika.
Kathika.
That's the one.
So he catches her, and then he gets out psychic paper, so he's, like, management or something like that. And then they know that one of, like, a news channel thing, which, yeah.
He sort of, yes. It's new satellite.
Let's see who's the quietest children.
Yeah, then they go into this room, and then she clicks her fingers, and her brain opens.
Yes.
And it goes spike. And it's
why
like
is it?
Beam.
Why is it? Why do they use the word spike?
Because it's like a spike going into your head.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah, and it's gonna so do computers, and it's downloading into her brain.
Mm.
So she's like, she is the computer.
She is the computer.
Yeah, then it all stops, and then someone gets promoted to floor 500, which apparently the walls are made of gold.
Oh, okay.
But they're not made of gold. They've got an evil man with a white face and zombies up there.
Okay.
So then this woman goes up there.
Yeah. Oh, this is Pookie. Is it Pookie? What was her name again? She had a funny name, wasn't it? Something like
Pookie.
Suki, that's it.
Suki.
Pookie. Who is Pookie?
And then
Suki is also the name of the main character in True Blood.
Okay, thank you for that, yeah. Kirby. Never heard of that one either. I've heard of True Blood. And again, I'm probably less likely to watch that than I am.
Is that the one about vampires?
I don't know. Can you carry on?
Okay, and then she goes up to this place, floor 500, and it's like a freezing room.
Literally. Is it? Is it freezing?
There's always snow flowing about.
But it's in the heating.
Might be dust, and they're all dying and decomposing, aren't they?
So she just looks around, and she finds this skeleton body with her brain open.
Well, I have to say about these skeleton bodies, but can I interrupt, please? The skeleton bodies looked a bit strange. They looked like fuzzy. They looked like they were made out of foam.
Yeah.
Because they were made of
foam. Well, that wasn't very good. They're not sweaty. They're not supposed to look like they're made out of foam. That's me just being...
Finicus.
We're being pepper.
Yeah, then she goes to this room and this man standing there.
Mm.
Apparently she's been lying about who she is.
Yes.
She says she's like a spy or army person.
Yes.
And she gets eaten by something from the ceiling.
Yeah, but the thing is though, before she gets eaten, she's got a gun and she looks up at the ceiling, she's got a gun, she points the gun at the ceiling, and she doesn't use it.
She does.
She should have set it to a stronger setting then, surely.
Well,
she had
an alien.
Time when it was heading down towards her to eat her.
Alien. So, yeah. Yeah, so he eats her.
Yes.
By this time, Adam's gone off on his own.
Yeah, but the doctor's given him some a little credit stick, which you've managed
money.
To skip past.
Unlimited credit.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Harmonica, yes.
He goes to look around, so he goes to the viewing deck and then goes onto his computer and he tries to record it to back to present day.
Well, 2012.
Yeah.
Which is now present day. But
yeah,
because
he has to say present day.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting, the very old-fashioned answer machine they had, which we don't, not a lot of people have those sort of answer machines.
What was
now.
That?
The answer machine he was downloading all the information to at his parents' house.
Yeah.
Well, that was not the sort of answer machines we have now. Now we have more digital-style answer machines.
Well, please leave a message after his tone.
Yeah. like a tape
that,
thing there.
That cell phone of Rose's is so
Oh, yeah, but that
old
can be
I had that one.
But that, yeah, I had that one as well. But that can be forgiven because she's gone away from 2005 with this phone in her hand. So that can be forgiven.
Okay.
But if they're supposed to be sending stuff back to 2012 with an antiquated answer machine that looked like it was more settled into the 1999 sort of era, maybe that's not so good. But carry on. I'm not, it's just me being the same.
Yeah, shut up. Yeah, he's just downloading this information, and it comes up with his thing saying go to floor 16, which is like a medical kind of...
I do love the actress that plays the medical person. She's super.
Camden Greig.
She is super.
She's in Downton Abbey, actually.
Is she?
I think she is.
She's in Black Books.
Her
name Greig or Greg?
Greg.
She's got a lot of comedy stuff, doesn't she?
She's in Black Books, and she's also in that brilliant programme on BBC Two that's got Joey in out of Friends called... Extras. What's it called?
I don't know.
No, hold on. We're not going to move on until I've told you. Because
okay.
Hold on.
Plus, she had a small part in Neverwhere.
Episodes, it's called.
And she apparently had a small part in Shaun of the Dead with Simon Pegg.
Yeah, she was in Shaun of the Dead with Green Wing on Channel 4, which obviously is an English thing, so no one else will know what that is.
I haven't seen Shaun of the Dead yet. I need to see it.
You need to watch episodes as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen Shaun of the Dead
either. You need
to
watch an episode of Episodes.
Indeed.
You need to watch the whole series of Episodes because it's fantastic. I might even start doing a podcast.
It's a comedy series called Episodes. Anyway, she's episode really, really good. Come on, Alicia, carry on.
Yeah, so what's the Doctor and Rose doing at the moment? I forgot.
Doctor and Rose are...
sitting in a tree.
Well, I don't know. What were the Doctor and Rose doing? Oh, the Doctor kept on having little digs at Rose about the boyfriend situation and...
Yes, when he fainted. That's your boyfriend. Not anymore.
Not anymore, yeah. That was near the beginning, Alicia. You missed that bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's been... Adam's basically going through a medical process, isn't it? He sort of wants to have done, but doesn't think he's got enough money. And then she says, oh, you've got plenty of money. That'll do nicely, sir. You can have as much as you like.
Would you do that?
No.
Why would you do it?
You wouldn't, would you? The only thing I'd like to do if I was in that situation is find out the lottery numbers for the forthcoming weeks and go back and do that sort of thing. But that's all I'd really want to know, wouldn't I?
I still think the doctor would get you for that too.
Well, absolutely.
The doctor does that all the time.
Yeah, he does, actually.
Yeah, true.
When it suits him.
If you had a time machine and you'd go back to the past, what time in the past would you go back to?
7
what's
o'clock.
This got to do with...
It's the Doctor Who.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
I'd go back to 1966 and go and watch the World Cup final. And see my...
Boring.
No, shush.
Yeah.
How about you guys? No?
Okay.
Okay.
Go back to just before this conversation began and we'll move on.
I'd go and see the Titanic depart. That's very topical for 100 years ago.
You're meet boring.
The yeah, you'd meet the doctor.
Yeah. Or I'll go back and... there's loads of things you could do, isn't it? Magic!
I would go back to all the times I made mistakes.
Well, like in this show. Would you stop fidgeting?
She's thinking in great fit!
They team up with that girl, which I've forgotten the name of again already, the black girl. What's she called again?
Don't say that!
Why not?
Because it's racist.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. She's black, we're white. That's how it is.
It's racist to persecute her for being black, not for saying that she's black. It's a completely different thing.
Okay.
I did tell you that once before, if you listen. So Cassica, so they team up because the Doctor's starting to realise that there's something corrupt going on the space station, that there's an external influence.
Yeah.
There are no aliens. There should be
that
aliens.
That as well, yeah.
So then they go up to floor 500, right now?
I think they do because Adam's still faffing around and he's plotting to use his new little head gear to send information via his phone to his answer machine.
Because he spikes, ain't he?
Yeah, but this then causes a problem, doesn't it? And the Doctor then ends up going upstairs with Rose and chatting to the editor bloke and meeting the boss.
Yeah, and then it's called the
Yeah, it's got a funny name, a typical RTD name. What was the name of the alien? Anyone remember?
Oh, Mighty Jaggerfest.
Mighty Jaggerfest.
Yeah, that's
the Holy Hadrojacic Max.
You're reading, right, you still struggle.
I'll call him Max. Max for short, yeah.
Yeah. I can say.
Raxacorico Phalapatorius.
Yes, I can
say. Raxacorico Phalapatorius.
The Doctor and Rose get shackled up.
Yeah, so they get shackled up then.
But then the girl, Cassica, comes up and starts earwigging.
Cassica.
The Doctor, yeah, I just said that. Anyway, she starts earwigging, but the Doctor sees her reflection in one of the computer screens and then deliberately sort of does one of his sort of speeches to sort of reveal to her what the editor's up to. What? Oh, Isabella, I forgot you watched this story, didn't you? Go on, Isabella. What happened?
That man just had...
Hang on, let's move the microphone so people can hear you. Go on.
That man just had that hole on its head.
Yes.
He was like a computer, and he was the computer now, too.
Okay. So how did the Doctor get out of this problem that he was when he was sort of shackled up then?
Rose helped him.
Rose helped him. Okay.
How did Rose help him?
With the sonic screwdriver, and then when the lady caught that evil man, she stopped him.
How?
When she caught her.
How did the monster die then?
You're still carrying on, sorry.
When...
Come on, spit it out.
When...
Like frozen vomit?
Max was big, and then he died.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I think we've basically established it. Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, so...
I forgot Adam has ice vomit.
Ice vomit, yeah. We forgot about the ice vomit. That was revolting, but yes. Forgot all about the ice vomit. Probably
wouldn't that be easier, though, when you're drunk?
Wouldn't you choke on it more likely if you had something like that come up in your throat? I don't know. A bit like furballs, wasn't it?
Look about choking your own vomit.
It was a kiwi and orange ice cube.
Lovely. Go on, Isabella, one last time. Yes, go on.
I didn't tell you all about the lady.
Which lady?
The lady who went and looked to the the monster, and he went. So now she went cold, and then she was working to the man.
Yeah, she grabbed hold of the dead girl, wasn't it? Suki, whatever her name was, grabbed hold of the editor as he was trying to escape.
Yeah, why did the thing blow up again?
Well, if we get to the bit where she, the girl, Cassica, or whatever her name, overheard what was going on, she plumbed herself into the... She lowered all the safety things, didn't she? Plumbed herself into the thing, which then bypassed what Adam was doing, released him, and basically she saved the day, didn't she? And I can't remember.
She routed all of the heat back up to floor 500.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, because the whatchamacallit can't live in heat.
Yeah, that's right.
Max.
Therefore, he exploded.
Bit of a rubbish, Andrew.
Yeah. Got to handle the heat.
Yeah.
Get out of the kitchen.
Yeah. And then, of course, that was more or less it, apart from the bit where the Doctor was extremely cross with Adam. And I did enjoy this whole sequence of events. Because that's, I think, as a viewer, I don't think anybody was particularly happy about this character joining the team anyway. And obviously this is why he was there, to sort of, for the outcome of him getting sent back to his home and the little joke with the clicky fingers with his mum and stuff, which was...
How horrible would that be, though?
You would be a bit shocked by it, but I think she'd still love him at the end of it. She's his mum.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I've never cared about a recurring character less. Yeah. than this Adam chat.
Absolutely.
And if instead of when he shouted Spike,
yeah,
instead of a beam of light and information going in, it said, "I wouldn't mind if it was a 6-inch metal Spike."
Yes.
Yeah, the thing is, Spike.
The thing is, though, although he obviously the Doctor destroyed the answer machine with his tunic screwdriver, Adam himself would still remember in his mind quite a lot of the information that he was downloading. Surely.
Yes. No.
What?
The Doctor says. The Doctor said at the beginning when the woman was getting spiked that they once it closes up, that she doesn't. Yeah. They don't remember anything.
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go then. Thank you. Just making sure you were paying attention, Alicia.
No, you don't. You didn't know that.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
So, everybody...
During the commentary, and I also followed up on this,
yes,
there was an extra bit of plot that had been removed where the reason Adam was doing this was his father was sick.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that would have made a bit more sense.
Yes.
That would have made him more likable, too.
Yeah, maybe so.
The BBC put out a fake web page during the first series called whoisdoctorwho.co.uk.
Right.
Which was it's supposed to be the web page that, who is
Clive?
Yeah, this is Clive's, yes.
Yeah.
And there's a essay from 14-year-old Adam Mitchell
from
Nottingham. Where he talks about his father being sick and what he'd do if he could time travel.
Oh, right.
I put a link to that on Facebook.
I really did mean to watch every one of these episodes with commentary at one point. I think I got up to episode 8, but I must have forgotten these bits of information. Is there info text on the new series, Steve? There is, and that's a shame, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I know. That's one thing about the new ones I don't like. I wish there were info text.
Because with the commentary, when you watch it with commentary and you're reading the info text, you get so much from them. Because obviously you can watch the stories without all that stuff, but then you can watch it with the info text. It's just an excellent, sort of just gets more out of your stories when you've got things like that on it.
And aren't there a couple of DVDs where you have commentary where you see them doing commentary? And I hate
selected
those
episodes. I don't mind. There's one with Beth Willis's legs on. Oh,
you've mentioned this many times.
And that's got to be worth seeing.
That's disgusting.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. If it was Justin Bieber, you'd be going, well, maybe not Justin
Bieber. Oh, my God.
What? Bieber.
I don't like Bieber.
Justin Bieber, I said.
I don't like Bieber.
What about Frankie Kokoza?
No.
Well, who do you like then? That's gone all quiet. Right.
Yeah, the commentary.
Oh, I know she likes. I know who she likes. She likes the one who plays Arthur in Merlin.
That's Mum.
No, you said you liked him as well because you said to Maddie in the car on the way to Ballard last week. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I could say people are fit.
I actually love Merlin.
Do you love Merlin, dear? Yeah, we love Merlin. It's not as good as Doctor Who.
No, Merlin's better than Doctor Who.
No, I'm not going to go down that road again because I've already proved myself to be right.
Don't they watch Merlin?
It's worth watching while Doctor Who isn't on.
I agree.
Don't you watch
Merlin? In 40 years, we're not going to have podcasts about Merlin.
Oh, you don't know. Maybe so. I'm sure there's some out there. Moo? What do you mean, moo?
That wasn't the point. The point was, in 40 years' time, Merlin won't be remembered like Doctor Who.
No, that's the point, isn't it? It's got 50 years of history.
And so Merlin won't have podcasts.
I mean, this incarnation of it, this TV series. Yes. No, I think
you won't be having podcasts.
But it is a sister show of Doctor Who.
Seriously, what are you guys going to do when Doctor Who's finished?
There's so much Doctor Who out there, Alicia.
It'll never be finished.
No, because people are always writing fan fiction. There's always going to be big finish type things going on. There's Doctor Who is a never-ending thing, I'm afraid. There's nothing you can get around it.
There's also that slash fiction too, but we won't.
There's also episodes to be rediscovered. There's the fact that the copyright thing is going to be... Did you just sneeze then?
Yeah.
The copyright thing is coming to an end, so
what's
that means...
Copyright?
Copyright means the legal thing where you're not allowed to copy things. And Doctor Who is protected by that. However, as of November the 23rd next year, as of the end of that story, then that will they'll be out of copyright, that particular story. Out of copyright.
Haven't they re-upped their copyright?
How did they manage that then, Kirby?
Well, you're allowed to. You're allowed to apply extension.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, forget what I just said, Alicia. That we can't go and read off the script of that and act it out.
Anyway,
sorry,
they're also changing that whole law anyway.
Are they changing
with Cliff Richard basically because he obviously has now been around for 412 years?
Yeah,
approximately half the age of the Doctor.
He's Cliff Richard.
Oh, don't be absurd, Alicia.
No, seriously, is that the one that Nan likes?
Probably yes.
I did see something a couple of years ago because he was saying, you know, in a couple of years' time, I'm going to stop making money from my songs, which doesn't seem particularly fair.
Yeah, he doesn't write songs.
So, yes, he did.
Did he?
Yeah, you have a look at the songs that are attributed to Harry Webb.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Harry's Webb.
Yeah, Harry's Webb. It's like Charlotte's Webb, but a boy version.
There's a song that I liked Cliff Richard did with that bloke from the Everly Brothers. That was really good. I like that one.
Which one?
Hang on.
You've got rubbish
songs
on your phone.
I've got brilliant songs on my
phone. Use Wikipedia to figure out that you were talking about Harry Roger Webb, OBE. Okay.
Yeah, how about this? This is the song I'm referring to.
Can you turn it off? You have rubbish songs.
It's called She Means Nothing to Me by Cliff Richard and Phil Everly.
Why don't you have my...
He Means Nothing to Me.
Who does?
Cliff Richard.
Peterson's just been bold.
why right. don't you have like modern songs?
Excuse me, I just wanted to see if Reese was still awake. Reese, what did you think of the long game?
Have we finished synopsizing it?
We've finished synopsizing. Now we're talking. And then, do you want to carry on synopsizing what you just said?
Synopsizing.
Yeah, that. Do you want to carry on doing that?
I didn't hear. I didn't hear you say. Well, that's the episode.
You didn't hear me say that was the episode?
I can say it.
Go on, then.
No.
And that's the episode.
Right, that's the episode. She said that is the episode. Go on, Reese.
Oh, good. Now I can review it.
Yes.
I quite like the fact it was a standalone episode because recently, as we've all been talking, the episodes we've seen have been quite heavy on the arc, but watching episodes from 2005 again, it's just been relaxing to have the light arc, and it was nice and... standalone with the Doctor, arriving there.
It was still an arc.
Was there any reference to Bad Wolf in this one?
I'm sure there was a reference to Torchwood in this, I think.
Oh, no, I remember. On the
do you mind not punching me?
On the TV screen it says Bad Wolf News.
Thank you.
No, it says Bad Wolf TV. I have it on the screen in front of me.
No, something like that.
That's on the picture of Face of Bo.
Yeah.
Face of Bo expecting baby Bomina.
Yes. Poor old Captain Jack. Yeah, you were saying.
Well, I just enjoyed the fact that it was standalone. It reminded me of The Beast Below recently, the way the Doctor and Amy, and in this case Rose and Adam, arrived somewhere and they just had to figure out the situation. And they had fantastic guest actors and things like that because Simon Pegg was fantastic, I thought.
Yes, he was.
I think he'd make a great Doctor, actually.
Well, he would, but I don't think he'll do it. It's like, could Benedict Cumberbatch make a good Doctor, but I don't think he'll do it.
Who? You think Sherlock's going to be the
That's
new
what
Doctor?
I just said.
Is that Sherlock?
Yes.
Sherlock's rubbish.
The other one I think would be a good Doctor.
No, it
is. Also
yes,
in
it
Sherlock.
Is.
Is,
no, it isn't.
Sherlock's rubbish, isn't it, Dad?
I haven't seen it, so I can't judge it. I just don't like
it's
Sherlock
It's written by
Holmes.
Stephen Moffat.
I don't like Sherlock Holmes as a character. Yeah, it's maybe written by and produced by Stephen Moffat, but it's based on the original stories by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
I don't like... I saw a Sherlock Holmes pub in London.
Thank you, Alicia.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, no!
What?
Jonathan Trott's just been bowled first ball.
Paying attention.
Who's Jonathan...
Is
this cricket?
An English cricket football player. I mean, cricket player, sorry.
Football?
Sorry,
I like football.
I'm starting to get one of my headaches. Rhys, sorry, what were you saying?
I was just saying, I thought Simon Pegg did a fantastic
job. Yes, and we were trying to think of who would make good Doctors. Yes, the one who plays Watson in Sherlock, I think he'd make a good Doctor.
I think they should. I think.
You know, he would make a good Bilbo Baggins.
He's in there. Oh, very good, yes. Isabella, can you stop doing Dalek impressions, please?
Okay, do a Dalek impression, Isabella.
That's an odd-sounding Dalek.
Giggling Dalek.
Yeah, it's one of the Daleks from the Evil of the Daleks. But, anyway, right, yes.
You will make a good...
Thank you, Isabella. Right, I think it's about time If anybody's finished with the long game. Because the next story is one of my favourites. But that won't be for 2 weeks' time.
Father's Day.
2 weeks' time.
Oh, Father's Day. We're watching Father's Day at the moment, actually. Well, we were watching Father's Day today. Right, I paused it.
Yeah. If you'd let me finish what I was saying.
I was watching Father's Day about 7 hours ago.
Were you?
Yeah. And I just before I stopped watching, I posted on Facebook... I love the comment from the doctor. The past is another country. 1987 is just the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, thank you.
Yay!
Talking about the Isle of Wight,
no,
it was on Countryfile this week.
I want to say. The Queen's coming to the island!
And better still, she's coming to cows!
Whee!
She's coming with cows.
Her Madge is coming
to cows.
She's
bringing a herd of cows with her.
Shut up.
Because there's actually a bugger all the door on the island. So therefore she has to bring her own entertainment.
Queen Elizabeth II and the Prince... And it's Prince...
Try and get the title right.
It's Prince Philip.
Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II and His Royal Highness Prince Philip... The Duke of Edinburgh
is coming to Cowes for the Diamond Jubilee Tour.
Yes,
wow.
And Gary Barlow.
So excited about that news. What
I am.
No. And Gary Barlow is organising a Queen's concert. Gary Barlow
on the Isle of Wight. So what's that got to do?
Yeah, it's not
because I like Gary Barlow.
Joan Armour Trading's coming to the Isle of Wight Festival. She's quite good.
Absolutely fantastic.
Oh, Gary Barlow.
No hands up, see.
I'm Gary Barlow.
Anyway, as I say...
Whitney Houston's dead.
What's that got to do with the Isle of Wight, apart from the W and the I's?
Yeah, see? Whitney Houston's dead.
Did you see Whitney
Houston's dead? That's really respectful.
Did you see
Whitney? Yes, she's a fine artist, but a bit...
Adele won how many Grammys?
Five.
What, the Queen's an artist now. I haven't seen
Adele won 5 Grammys. I think I can do news. This is like updated news.
Did Whitney Houston win?
See, I do wish you'd shut up.
Right. Oh yeah, the BAFTAs last night. Artists won most of them. Yep.
Pardon?
The artist.
Oh, the artist.
The artist won most of them.
I thought you said artists won most of them, which would have been the case.
Marilyn Street won Best Actress.
Meryl Streep.
I saw the artist 2 weeks ago. It's excellent.
Is it? I wonder how much it is.
It does sound superb, I must admit.
Oh yeah, and the guy who played the man in The Artist won Best Actor. And he didn't even have to say anything. What won Best Animation? I forgot now. Oh yeah, Rango.
Yeah. Move away from BAFTAs. It's got nothing to do with Doctor Who.
No, this is good.
Apart from Noel Clark was on it, there's got no reference. And John Hurt. No, that was Merlin. John Hurt.
Oh yeah, John Hurt.
Oh, now see what you've done.
Shush! Absorb the clock.
I'll absorb something.
I don't know how I managed to contain my...
Ready?
What about it? It's just going bong, bong, bong.
What, in a Cheech and Chong way?
I beg your pardon?
Bong, 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 in a Cheech and Chong way.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Hello.
Still going.
And it's just my pleasure to welcome back to the 20 Megabyte Podcast and to the world of podcasting, Mr. Robert Haynes.
Woohoo!
Hello,
this is
Robert.
Skype. This is Satellite 5 reporting in. How is everybody?
Big cheer for the return of Robert.
How is everybody?
Who do you think?
I'm surprised.
Isabella Roberts back.
Yay!
Sorry.
Too many people speaking!
I clouted her back around the back of the head then. Do apologise.
Ha!
So what have you got to say to Robert, Alicia?
Hello.
Pardon?
Hello.
You don't even know he's been ill, do you?
Yeah, I have now. You're
in big trouble, man. It's your wife.
Oh, God, Christ.
This is not a test.
Oh dear. Hello?
Trouble.
Hello, could you pick me up, please?
Right, I'm on my
way.
No! Right, take over. Do not ruin my podcast and don't trip over any wires and stuff.
Okay. Yes, well, you start.
Look after Robert. He's very.
Speak, put your headphones in.
Are we on our own?
Wait. Yeah. Wait!
I think we've just.
No, wait, I need to put Isabel's earphones in. Ow!
It's so entertaining when you can't see what's going on, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's even more entertaining when you can't hear it.
Yeah? No.
How are you?
What are you guys...
Are you feeling a lot better?
Yeah, I'm already better.
That's not you. They're talking to him.
I'll be better once the holes in my stomach sort of fill up.
Okay.
What, in some sort of Doctor Who way, where you've been drilled into and now you're just waiting for your skin to regrow? Oh dear, you've been a poorly bunny then.
Well, they opened me up last time and they opened me up again about 3 weeks ago. So just as I'd healed from the first time, I'm trying to heal up again, but this time... I split open in a few places, and it's...
Ouch.
I'm a bit of a holy man. But, that's...
That doesn't sound particularly pleasant, Robert.
Ouchie.
Well, it'd be good if I had a bit of energy, but, just slowly getting
there. Why don't you not say ouchie?
I've been worried for you.
I mean, I know what you mean about being split open, because, like, the other week, I got a cut on my finger, and it just wouldn't heal.
What's that got to do with anything? He's had a major operation, and you go, I've got a cut on my finger.
Alicia?
Yeah?
See that button that says mute microphone?
Yeah. Why?
You're mute
microphone.
What have you guys been talking about?
Nothing.
Doctor Who.
No. Nothing.
We
nothing.
Have heard. We have heard.
Shush. Thank you. Not you. Yeah.
Oh, now look what you got.
Shh. It's a fella. You just broke Daddy's iPod.
What?
Oh, I thought that was like you, Alicia.
Like daughter, like mother.
It's just
no. No, you just broke Daddy's iPod.
It's just.
Hey, Kirby.
No. Yes. Seriously, you broke Daddy's iPod. Look, it's not turning on.
I'm gonna leave you lot shouting about iPods and whatever else in good here at conversations I can't hear because people keep on shouting.
Who's
that? I'm gonna go and get some breakfast.
Don't sit now.
What breakfast?
Ben,
why breakfast? It's like 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Precisely.
You got interrupted before having it.
And I haven't had breakfast either, but it's 6.
Right, let's get ready for the podcast.
Yes, I had my coffee.
Kirby, my body thinks it's 6 o'clock in the morning, which is why I'm going to have breakfast.
Just have lunch.
6 o'clock in the morning.
You should have pizza.
Are you having your Frosties?
I just had...
No, I don't know what I'm going to have today. I'll go and search the kitchen.
Bacon and egg.
What?
Yeah, I might have a bacon and egg thing, actually.
I'm going to
eggs
have
are disgusting.
Yeah, I love eggs.
That's going to love it.
20 megabyte food podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a funny feeling this bit might be edited.
How come you guys are off school today?
Because we were off all day.
We're off on half term.
We were off all day
long.
No, it's week as well.
All day week.
It's half term.
Day week.
It's half term for maths.
My kids are off next week.
Oh, lucky them.
Yeah.
Well, this week.
Hey, guess what? I'm off all week. I'm off year.
Why are you laughing, Isabella?
It's funny.
No, it ain't funny. You don't even know what we're talking about. Shut up, Isabella. You don't even know.
What, Doctor, what are you talking about?
The long game.
The long game.
Yeah, I just watched that today as well.
Oh, good.
And that Simon Pegg's hair really freaks me out.
Honestly,
that's so bleak blonde.
I think Adam may be back, judging by the barks.
We've been talking about Doctor Who, okay?
Is that magical star?
We've been talking about Doctor Who, okay?
I think it was Ben.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, Ben.
Hi, Adam.
Oh, that was bad.
Telling me.
Where's my earphones?
That's what happens when you use a car.
No, they're mine.
Well, that's
these
what
mine.
Happens because the Isle of Wight is so small.
These are mine.
Yeah.
Ben's going to make a bacon and egg sandwich.
Okay.
And we've been talking about Doctor Who.
The trouble is, you've got Isabella all the way over the hair, and the mic.
She's been going on about a load of gobbledygook and broke your iPod.
What a surprise. Anyway, Robert, how's it going?
Yeah, slowly getting there.
Yeah, he had a major operation on his stomach.
We established this. Are you putting weight on now?
I haven't weighed myself, but I'm eating better, so...
Are you feeling better?
Guess what we're having tomorrow night?
hang on. Elite, fish fingers and custard.
Foods.
Pizza.
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 Yep.
Pizza.
Pizza.
Domino's pizza.
Oh, that's good, Bates Hanson.
Well, we do need some.
And the pizza chains.
The battery's died on it, Isabella. You've been on it all day. Can we? Shall we?
Really,
I know it's very unusual. We seem to be straying from topics.
No. Well, we didn't really talk about. We didn't really talk about Doctor Who.
Right, okay. Well, shall we get back? Can you shut up, coughing, Isabella? Be quiet.
Is that the dog coughing?
No, it's Alicia. Can you stop it, please?
Stop it.
Isabella, stop tapping the table.
I'll find someone like you.
Can you be quiet? Right.
Why should we be quiet?
Reese?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you're still there. Right. Kirby?
Yes?
You've got email from Richard Culp to...
Okay.
Hello, Richard.
Show enthusiasm. He's giving you feedback at last.
Yeah.
Kirby's not here.
Okay. Email from Richard Culp. He says, I'll try to be brief, but this will be a hard task. Please accept this dolly with the massive ton of paper you are about to read. I don't have any paper in front of me. I don't know what
he's talking
about.
What does he mean, dolly?
What's dolly mean?
What is the dolly?
That's what it says. Please accept this dolly with the massive ton of paper you are about to read.
I don't get that.
I don't see any dolly. I don't see any paper on the screen.
What does dolly mean? Please accept this
dolly, as it says.
Yeah, maybe. I think
I might have to get you to send me your own audio for this bit.
Everybody shush. Okay, ready?
That's what I was trying
you
to
ready?
Get
you ready? Wait. Shush.
Isabella.
Ready? No! You're not listening.
Alicia.
Yeah.
Shush.
Okay.
Such a simple word, and yet it has such a vast and powerful meaning for Doctor Who fans.
Why is he speaking like that?
What?
Never mind.
Stormageddon.
We get to see a Dalek, or rather just its plunger, back in December 21st, 1963. I had to translate that weirdly.
21st? Or,
that's what it says.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's in this weird format. For some reason,
you
British
format.
put the day, then the month, then
you mean the
year.
Correct format?
Well, yeah. Accurate format, yeah.
Are we still on email?
That's
how we do it.
Okay.
That moment is arguably one of the best cliffhangers in the history of the serial.
That's me.
And would have an impact that would last generations. It would also be the pivotal moment in saving the show. The bug-eyed monster that Sidney Newman wanted to avoid having in the serial became a huge success as Dalek Mania swept Britain. How fitting it is in the first series that we get a Dalek, and what a brilliant first appearance it is. After the weaker showing of the Sleuthine, we are treated to a much different story that I will always recommend as a must-watch episode. This episode has so many elements that work to create a well-oiled machine. I love the little nods to the past, such as the Cyberman's head. Ask a new fan of the show where the first Cyberman appears in the series, and they will most likely get the answer wrong as they forget the Cyberman's head. Van Staden, what a work of art. Here we have
They'd
a powerful...
They'd say sometime in the 60s.
Excuse me?
They'd say sometime in the 60s. That's the first time I'd... A Cyberman appeared in Doctor Who.
Yes.
Oh.
1966, the year I was born.
He was referring to the New Who.
Yeah, but that was a Revenge of the Cybermen style head, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
What have I started?
Yes, well done, Reese.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
That it was from a Tom Baker one?
Yeah. Revenge of the Cybermen.
Okay, yeah.
From his first series.
Had little peers.
Actually, I did see them in Pertwee, like in the mini scope in Carnival.
Yeah,
Masters.
It was a brief shot of one in a couple of Pertwee
Mind
stories.
Of Evil.
Mind of Evil, that's the other
Sorry,
one.
Sorry, Richard.
Yeah.
Sorry, Richard. Do continue, Kirby.
Yes. Where do we get up to?
What a work of art.
Have we done that bit?
Here we have a powerful man who fills the role of many past villains, and yet he is not a villain. He is just a man who fails to realize that he what he has and fails to recognize its potential danger. In the end, he loses everything, showing how weak he really was. Adam, no, yes? Not Pearson. The Adam Mitchell. I have mixed feelings about his companion, but then again, he was meant to show us what an unsuitable companion he was.
Yeah.
What an unsuitable companion was, well, at least in the next story. Does he deserve the right to be called a companion? Yes,
no.
I'm afraid he does. Yes.
No.
I'd say no.
Well,
due to time, can of worms will be untouched. Oh, let's touch it. Come on.
Recurring character. For one story.
Companion. You posted something
Adam.
About the story.
Nob.
Ben, we're talking about Adam.
He's not a recurring character.
What is he then?
An idiot.
No. Yeah, but it can he be regarded as a companion?
What's a recurring character?
As Ben's another term, Ben has created for companion.
Yeah, but it's not really a companion, is it?
Who isn't? Adam.
No.
What is he then?
Good on you, Alicia. That's the most important and accurate thing you've ever said.
Yay! No, he's not a companion, is he? He's just an idiot who decides to get into the TARDIS.
So
he's not even a recurring character.
So what do you think of Stephen Moffat, Alicia?
He's alright.
He's alright. Who's better, Stephen Moffat or RTD?
R2D2, definitely.
R2D2,
yeah. Do you know, is that Star Wars? Star Wars is coming out in 3D in cinema.
Yeah, that's nothing to do with this show.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah but RTD2.
Bye, Isabella. And that's bed on the dog.
Which is not worth watching.
Yes, it is.
Alright. Well, let's move away from Star Wars and back to this email.
You young whippersnappers who don't realize the classic.
Boy, I love all of Star Wars, mister.
I love back all to of the email.
I like Star Wars 3. That one. That
okay.
One.
Yeah, back 3. To the email.
Okay, yep.
The meeting of the Doctor and the Dalek. This is an iconic moment in the show that hints to the new fans how rich a past the show has. You have to give a huge round of applause to Christopher Eccleston and Nick Briggs. Yay!
No, I can't be bothered.
For that whole scene, I get consumed every time I see it, as it is so powerful and provocative. This scene also This scene also paves the way to reveal the true nature of our broken Doctor. What events transpired to have the Doctor become so dark? This was a dark side that never.
Oh yes, that's right. Alicia's right. We overlooked the spitting, didn't we, last week? Or did we?
Yeah, no, he was like...
There's a scene where he gets really angry and he does a...
yeah, and it's just left there.
A Rathalon. Not quite as...
Yeah, it's a Rathalon.
Yeah.
Tom Baker used to do that too.
Did he?
Tom Baker.
He used to dribble a bit, but he didn't actually see the spit on his lip.
He was like... And then he just landed there.
He used to wipe his lip with his mouth with his arm, didn't he, Tom Baker? But
he just left it there.
It's a Time Lord trait.
The thing is, though, they must have shot that scene over a few hours, you know, and so they must have had to keep adding the spit to the same part of his lip to make it look for continuity
and stuff. Could you just spit again?
Yeah.
Do you think that he was supposed to spit? Or
you don't
do
have to shout, darling. You are right next to the microphone.
Do you think he was...
Spider be Edwards, the operator, the Dalek operator there?
He was.
I wonder if he copped a bit.
Do you think he was supposed to spit? Or it's the best scene they had?
I don't know. But it does add to the realism. Because obviously...
You know what?
Your mum spits when she's angry, doesn't she?
Yeah, mum spits all over my face and it's disgusting.
Oh, don't be... only when she's shouting, she can occasionally project. Not deliberately. It's when you say P's and T's while you're shouting. It turns, occasionally, as I've just demonstrated by spitting all over the monitor, that she's broke. Yes.
Do you think when she smashed your computer, she spat all over it first?
No, she cried. I think she cried over it, because when she realised it had broken, she did grizzle a little.
At this rate, we'll finish the email sometime in the 2 years
from now. It's just as well we've only got one email. But listeners, don't listen to that. We've got episode 100 coming up. We want hundreds of emails.
Yeah.
Please.
I bet you anything, we only get one.
I bet you we get none. We didn't get anything off for our 50th. That was a bit of a letdown, wasn't it? However, we're still going to have fun.
It's not special.
I don't think I was listening back at the 50th.
Yes, you
were. I think
that's
around the time that... Oh, okay.
Yes, you were. I can prove
it. I've been doing it about a year now, haven't I? So I must have been on the 50th.
Yes, you were. Now, the thing is...
When did all of these people join?
Well, I'm gradually working through all the podcasts at the moment.
We want a timeline.
I would like to know. I was thinking of starting up a new item called Whatever Happened To. This is like in relation to feedback we used to get for certain people. Like, for instance, somebody called the TARDIS Tavern. Whatever Happened To The TARDIS Tavern?
Yeah, Whatever Happened To The TARDIS Tavern? Yeah.
And Whatever Happened To Tekkerman James? Whatever Happened To Him? He used to send in the audio. And Whatever Happened To Reese Parton? Oh, sorry.
Wasn't he the one who had the TARDIS?
Pearson.
I did get an email off his wife not too long ago saying...
I'll tell you who we haven't heard from for a while, but I don't know what's happened to her. Whitney Houston.
I think she's dead.
Yeah, all right, Alicia. Who else do we...
This was Glade a dark
Packer. Whatever happened to Glade Packer?
Whatever happened to Michael Jackson?
Graham Sheridan. We used to get emails from somebody called Graham Sheridan.
He used to be a referee.
Yeah, he used to say how crap we were and stuff. So, whatever happened to all these people? Anyway, sorry, back to the email.
This was a dark side that had never been seen before. I do recall the very first moment of the classic serial when the doctor picked up a rock and Ian grabbed his hand. But this was a very different dark moment. Would Hartnell's doctor use the rock? Huh?
The rock? What happened to wrestling?
Yeah, the unearthly child.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. It's unclear, but here I have little doubt. The plunger. Another iconic moment that propelled the Daleks to a new status of fear.
Mm.
Who could have imagined the plunger that was that dangerous?
Mm.
It will suck the life from you as well as download the internet and break code.
Yes.
And unblock the toilet.
Unblock the toilet.
what about the whisk?
The what?
The whisk. Too.
The whisk, what do you mean, the gun?
They've had various appendages, haven't they?
Haven't we all? Ben's got lots of appendages.
Are we talking about a Dalek?
No, we're talking about appendages, and we're just I was just referring to that. Ben's got quite a few appendages.
What's appendages?
You know, appendages. Every time I see that scene of the Daleks with the fire on the plunger, I keep worrying that they're going to burn down the studio.
That was in Dalek's Master Plan, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
But didn't they also really have fire extinguishers as well at one point?
What is that?
No, you're thinking of the movies. That's the movies.
That's it, yes.
One of these days, I've got to see the movies.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be worth watching.
I've never watched the movies.
No, they're nice color. And pretty good special effects, I reckon.
Mm. Anyway, back to the email.
Yes.
Most brilliant of all, Doctor Who. Most brilliant of all was the Dalek. We get to see the true power of a single Dalek and how brutally cunning it can be. Look at how it dealt with all the armed men so efficiently. You may wonder how it could have fired and set up the sprinkler system. Well, if a plunger can download the internet, break a code, and suck the life from a person, I can imagine the weapon might have different settings. Ian Chesterton was only stunned, Chesterfield.
Chatterton. Chatterton.
Only stunned way back in the first meeting.
Well, go on, Alicia, don't interrupt.
Yeah, but what, you know, the plunger?
Yeah.
How could it have mini fingers to touch the button?
I don't know.
Do you think there's someone inside, like a mini person, like,
It's science fiction.
Yes, use your imagination. Right, carry on, Kirby.
The button was inside.
With all of this praise, I hope you might consider thinking about the power of the Dalek, not the Trouton story. With Dalek, we have established...
I am your servant.
Yes, I know you are, Robert, but can we carry on with the email?
Wah,
wah. And we'll always love you. We'll always love you.
Interrupt Kirby.
That was my little tribute to Whitney.
Thank you. Oh. Was that the one? My
tribute. Here's my tribute to Whitney Houston. Ready? Thank you.
She loved Daleks. Really?
Oh, here's my third and final tribute to Whitney Houston.
I don't get it.
Come on, we're about halfway through this.
I don't get it.
Where do we get up to?
Dalek. We've established how dangerous and powerful they are, and with a big budget. The real question is, have they become too powerful? The beauty of this story, and another reason I love it is self-contained. Sure, this Dalek alone could have killed millions, as stated by the doctor?
I thought he said he's proofreading his emails now.
Yeah. Hmm. But this story was...
Is that not the end?
Struck him.
...this single place. Much like the Troughton story, Power of the Daleks, the story is set to single...
Silence are attacking.
That was set on the planet Vulcan.
Oh, I see. He's repeating himself.
Kirby, could you read that again?
Again?
Much, I didn't read this, this morning. This is my first time through, so...
Mm. Have another coffee.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
No, it's in the other
room. Don't start that again.
That's what she said.
Much like the Troughton story, Power of the Daleks, the story to a single place. The threat is huge, but in a far different way than having a fleet of Daleks all over the world. The power the Daleks have is buried in the history of the show. I recall a Dalek being pushed into fireplace in Evil of the Daleks and being destroyed and also being lifted up by Frankenstein in the chase. What?
Oh, that was ridiculous. Yeah, remember the...
remember that in the chase, yeah. That was a silly chase.
So,
we will review it one day in the distant
future.
And
they show you the camera as well.
Yeah.
You get a good view of the camera
and
the camera.
This might seem silly by today's standard, but it does show how they have undergone some vast changes from these early days. The power of today's Dalek...
Credibility.
Yes.
The power of today's Dalek makes me wonder if we could ever encounter the first Dalek seen in the Hartnell era. They run on static and watch the look on the new Who fan's face.
Could you imagine the Dalek having hair?
How would they take it, yeah.
As a story, I would say this is an easy 5 out of 5 stars. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
I'd go for 10 out of 10.
I'll go for half out of 7.5.
What? What are we talking about?
Oh, be quiet. Let's get to the rest of it.
On to a few other things. Welcome back to Robert.
Hooray!
Yay!
Nothing more can be said as he has hopefully read and listened to all the past emails and podcasts. Have you?
I've got yet to listen to the ones from Louise Jameson interview.
That's really good, that one, isn't it? Thank you, Ben.
That's
except for the two of us who are sitting there with our mouths wide open going...
I have to say congratulations on... that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool.
Sorry, Mr. But don't worry, Robert. We have a special guest on next week's show.
Yeah, should we tell him?
I know who it is.
You know who it is? How did you manage to work that one out?
A certain young writer from late...
No, it's not him. I know who it is. No, you're referring to Andrew Smith.
I know.
Money. What? Don't say it.
Mummy
and our special guest on episode 120 Megabyte. It's Mummy. No, it's not Mummy.
She'll probably spit at all of us.
If she gets cross.
No,
You spit anyway when you get cross.
No, I was going to say something. I know who it is, and I know who he is and what he played in Doctor Who.
Get your foot off my cable.
Can I give him
clues?
I want to finish this blimmin' email.
No, I want to give him clues. Let me give him clues.
Can we finish the email first and then give him clues?
Okay.
Right, please
continue. Someone email me and tell me who it is because I've completely forgotten.
Please continue.
He's Scottish.
Be quiet! Please continue, Kirby.
How can I continue?
Shit! Right. Stop.
How can I be quiet and continue?
Not you, I was talking to Alicia.
There's a mute button there, I didn't click it.
Yes.
Anyway, the email continues. Yes, Ben, I do have...
he's referring to you, Ben. Can
be
quiet.
Can we just please finish this?
Why don't you shut up?
I have to go in half an hour.
Well,
Come on.
Up, Ben. Right.
I have to go in half an hour, too.
Good, right. Yes, Ben.
I do have more than one English teacher. It is the funny way we in America do things.
See, we got the right accent for one of the emails at last.
I don't have an accent.
All right, carry on.
You do have an accent.
Hang on, this is I want to hear Americans say the next line. Go on, Kirby, next line.
Americans in our short attention span? I will have you know.
Sorry, what? I lost you after Americans.
You're reading an email, are you?
I will have you know that... part of the podcast had me getting irritated. How could you say such a thing about us and our well, when I take another listen, I will have hard words with you about that. Whatever.
Who said that? Who said that in the first place, though?
I can't remember.
Sure.
I lost a lot.
Guys, carry on. I want to give him clues. Yeah,
all right. Next thing in brackets.
At this point, Adam, I hope you wouldn't mind reading this part of the email, as I wish to hear Ben's reaction.
Okay.
I want to read it.
Your name, Adam, is it? Shush. Right, here we go. 2 weeks ago. Shush. Shush. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned in an email how happy I was that Ben was no longer the underwater menace, well, until I saw water dripping down my walls. On further painstaking search, I found a rather curious pipe heading east. I find it curious that it should appear after Ben solved his watery problem. Could he be doing more than just solving his water issue, or is it something more? Perhaps my mind is running wild, but could he be in league with Professor Zaroff and is trying to remove the water from his laboratory? In any case, such a thing is not for me. I'll have to turn this over to UNIT and let them look into it. Then, Alicia, please provide Robert with some clues as to who is our special guest next week.
That was a bit of an awkward tussle, wasn't it?
If you say so. Are you going to do what you said you wanted to do before we move on?
Yeah, Ian? But he played a character.
Go on, Robert. He played a character.
Oh, character. I was going to say David Tennant.
No.
John Barrowman.
But then you said character.
Wait, guys.
Stop shouting.
He's not in New Who, Old Who.
Right, now let him guess then.
Give it away.
Character. Yes,
right.
In
old. Quiet. This is cut out of the podcast.
Yes.
Well, hopefully, if everything goes to plan, and we have some audio feedback from Mr. Ian Kirk.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Hello, Ian.
The Long Game by Russell T. Davies. We have zombies again, like in *In Quiet Dead*. The acting was very good. There were some interesting camera angles on Suki. The episode seems to suggest that rewriting time is a bad thing. The Geographess has rewritten the history of the Fourth Human Empire. The Doctor puts it back on track. Adam Mitchell, the new companion, has gathered information that will allow him to rewrite his future.
He's an idiot!
The Doctor destroys the answering machine he used to record it. Adam got an upgrade to link him to computers.
No, I did not.
I need that like I need a hole in the head. I did not see the point of Adam Mitchell having a dog. It did not seem to do much except bark. Oops, no offence intended. The Sun newspaper claimed they helped bring us the Daleks. I think they helped bring us the Geographess, which exploded from its own body heat. Yeah, Rupert Murdoch was lucky to get away with only a foam pie. I hope Robert Haynes is recovered and back with the podcast. I hope it is not in bad taste to mention that he reminded me of the 10th Doctor's first episode. He was in a coma and Camille Corduri turned up with a stethoscope. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
got to agree with him on a couple of bits there.
Yeah, go on, Ben. Shush.
He did say there was a couple of interesting camera angles. My favourite one was quite near the end.
He tripped over him, Simon Pegg.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Simon Pegg was lying on the floor being held back by Suki or whatever her name is, you saw right down her top.
Did you? I missed this.
And it wobbled too.
Oh.
I didn't miss that bit. I rewound it several times.
That's what she said.
You dirty boys!
Funny enough.
God's sake!
Well, thank you, Ian, for some more wonderful feedback. Yes, it's great. Will you be quiet?
What's another song she's done?
Oh, I want to dance with somebody.
Help.
I need to make an appeal, Adam.
Yes, please.
I'm serious.
Yes.
I've only got 3 duty-free cigarettes left, so if anyone's flying anywhere and can buy me some Marlboro Lights instead of to make my dog fast, that'll be lovely.
Anyway.
I will pay for them.
Really?
Yeah, it's just that £7 a pack in this country is ridiculous. Especially if you can buy them for £25 for 200. So if anyone's going abroad and wants to buy me some cigarettes, send them to Adam.
Do you smoke?
To me.
Of course he smokes.
No, cigarette smoke. I just breathe it in.
okay, then.
Happy birthday to Tara Wheeler. That's TARDIS Tara for us Doctor Who fans. Expert in Doctor Who scarves. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Tara.
Ah, she's the one who knits them, isn't she? Yeah.
She does.
Can I also point out as well, as we're talking about Doctor Who, on a Doctor Who podcast,
there's
the name of Doctor Who in it, quite reasonable. I went to a party on Saturday night. I know that's nothing to do with Doctor Who, but it wasn't a fancy dress costume party or anything, but I thought I'd try and rock as much of the Doctor Who look as I could. So I wore my suit, a la David Tennant, and my Converse boots. How cool did I look? And then I also wore my big, long scarf in a bit of a homage to Tom Baker. So I doubled up the Doctor look for the party. And the funniest thing about it was as I was getting changed, my little 5-year-old, Mia, she saw me put my suit on. And she's never seen me in a suit before because I'm not the smartest person in the world.
Did she not recognise you?
Well, no, she did. and I had my suit trousers on and my shirt on, and she looked at me and said, "Daddy, you look stupid."
Oh, I thought you were going to take the fashion world by storm.
After I'd finished getting ready, I put my suit on, my jacket on, the tie on, I was ready to go, just rocking out the door, and I said, "See you later, man." She said, "Now, Daddy, you look really stupid."
Coming up, we have an interview with Andrew Smith that nobody else could be bothered to join in on. So it was just me talking to Andrew.
Sorry, I had to work.
That's not an excuse.
I had to sleep.
So it was just me. That's coming up very shortly on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Next week is episode 100. Please make a fuss of us. We're going to make a fuss of us. There won't be any reviews next week.
I won't be here next week.
You'll be in the show.
No.
You will be on the show, though.
I will be on the show, but I won't be here.
Yes.
Where will you be?
I'll be at school.
Yeah, you don't have to shout, Alicia. Honestly, you don't have to shout.
Can we move the 100th episode to this week?
No, because is due to be on the show this time next week. Isabella, right, you're holding a piece of paper. It has no relevance to the show,
it's
but you're going
to
read it out anyway. Go on then. What's it say?
Okay, Mummy, I love you.
Love.
So why are you whispering it? You are.
Is that supposed to be a tree on the front of it?
Yeah.
Tree people. It's the forest of
birds.
Anyway, so please make a fuss of us. And send your emails, etc. to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Join our Facebook group. Post on that. Yes, Isabella.
Got some more.
Well, go on then.
Thank you. For putting in
up with me.
The 3 moons of my moon diary.
What?
I see. You're getting at me because I didn't stick in the last 3 moons in your moon diary. Is that basically what you're trying to get at?
Yes.
No.
No, yeah, but technically, Isabella is doing a project to do a Doctor Who.
No, she's, well, Doctor Who in it, only because that's what I've arranged.
Anyway, Andrew Smith.
Yes, Andrew Smith is coming up on this show in a minute or two, or a few seconds, or it could be about a few hours, but the time it takes us to finish.
I need to go and brush my teeth.
Bye then, Alicia.
And do my perfume and get my coat on and get my shoes on and get my bag and get my hair done.
Your hairspray.
Be quiet, then you get on and do that.
That's rude.
You should go and have some beer.
As soon as I say I'm leaving, you're like, yay, yay, yay.
Have you got a song to sing?
You'll find out the reason for that.
Well, Isabella's got a song to sing. Come on, then.
And I.
Come on, Isabella.
If it makes you feel like $1 million bill to say it.
Can you be quiet and let her sing? Go on, Isabella.
I wish I had a lovely card for Mummy. And I like it for Mummy. I wish it.
I think I'm going to wake up in a minute and realise that this is a complete and utter nightmare, and this episode is going to be salvaged. I'm going to be so relieved to wake up and realise this hasn't happened.
Oh my god,
I'm
crying.
It's funny.
No one's saying it's funny.
Oh my god, it's absolutely amazing. Well done, Isabella. It's going to be the new number one.
Yes, so send in your emails, etc., etc., to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Join our Facebook group.
He's giving out the email addresses.
And we'll see you next week. And as I say, we'll be looking into Father's Day the week after on episode 101. Shut up, Magic!
Did anybody hear what I thought of the long game?
Sorry?
No.
I didn't know you'd watched it, Robert. You should have told me that at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, he did watch it. He did tell us.
Good afternoon.
Shut up, Magic!
Yeah, shut up, Magic!
Go on, Robert, what do you think of the long game?
Oh, Magic!
I was thinking the same thing!
Never believe it's so magic!
I hadn't watched it since I got the box set.
Mm.
And I just want to say that, watching it again, it was quite fresh and new. And do you know the... what's that leading lady in it? Her name started with C.
Billy Piper.
Cass.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
I was watching it and thinking, where the hell have I seen her recently?
Where have you seen her recently?
And she was in Terra Nova. I don't know whether you guys have seen that.
No,
I haven't seen it.
Is it American?
Yeah. It was filmed here in Queensland.
How is it American if it was filmed in Queensland?
And it's a...
produced by America.
It starred the guy who did the American version of Life on Mars and had dinosaurs. It's like people go back through this portal back in time.
It's
before
like
the Earth got knocked up.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And it's executive produced by Steven Spielberg. But she was a leading bad lady in that.
And she was in Batman.
I tell you what I'll say about the long game is that it's probably one of my least favourite of this series. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I couldn't say that.
I would.
I would.
I find it boring.
Same.
No.
And also, Christine Adams also played a character called Alicia in My Family.
Well.
I didn't play a character.
Is your name Christine Adams?
My name's Alicia.
Well done. Louise Jameson, a friend of the show, is on Twitter now. If you want to follow her, it's at LWO_Jameson.
Hi, this is Lou Jameson, or Louise Jameson, and you're listening to the 20 megabytes Doctor Who podcast. Rah!
As of last night, she had two tweets.
She did. And I tweeted
That's what
to
she
her.
Said.
Sweet Anyway, right, so here's... Shush, can you not be quiet so I can say, here's Andrew Smith. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. And,
it's okay, Dad.
Don't forget, next week, the dress code... Shut up! The dress code is...
black tie.
Yes.
Why?
Or long scarf.
No, you set the dress code, Ben. We have to stick to it then.
Black tie or long scarf, one of the two.
I've got
this on camera. Can I say something?
Please.
Bow ties.
Burgundy jacket or what?
Wait. Why are you wearing bow ties when nobody can see you and you can't see each other?
But Alicia, it's called a joke.
Careful.
Can I just talk about the picture?
Can you talk about the picture very quickly
so I
can finally get round to ending this part of the show? God's sake. Go on, Isabella.
For God's sake.
That's the mummy bird, and that's the baby bird, and that is the daddy bird.
The bird and the DVD chorus. Stopped itself.
And it was all about the three little birds.
Fortunately, I can fade this bit out. Thanks, Isabella. It's lovely. Thank you.
Okay, can we finish this up now? I've really got to go.
Right. I've got to go in a few minutes.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you
later. Bye.
Don't be late.
Bye.
Make sure you're there.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Bye.
That's what she said.
Bye.
Here's Andrew.
Bye. Bye.
That's not bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Adam, whoever it is.
Andrew!
Andrew!
Andrew Smith! He wrote full Alex circle.
Smith. Circle, Mr. Adam Smith circle.
Andrew Smith!
No, I want to say it! Please welcome Andrew Smith.
And with me over Skype, I'm delighted to introduce Andrew Smith.
And hello. Hi. How's glad it? To be here.
Lovely for you to join us on the show. You were the youngest writer to have a show actually put to screen on Doctor Who.
Yeah,
how old were you again?
I was 17 when I signed the contract. I think the next youngest was Ben Aronovich.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, this is fascinating because was it a case that you submitted a load of scripts before Full Circle got sort of approved?
Yeah, some scripts and some storylines. I think first would have been about 3 years, maybe 4 years before that, when Robert Holmes was script editor.
Yes.
And I sent in a script. I can't remember much about it. I know I did one at some point called The Secret of Cassius, and it might have been that one. I remember very little about it. So I think I did a couple of full scripts that I'd written out. And then I started sending in some storylines, so I did a couple of scripts, and then I think I did two or maybe three storylines, of which the one that became Full Circle was the last of those.
Oh, what an amazing feeling it must have been at that age to have it accepted. I mean, were you a Doctor Who fan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I grew up with it.
Yeah.
And, just always had to see it every week, and I think became a proper fan after going to the Doctor Who exhibition in Blackpool in, I think, 1975, and discovering the novels and, getting into the some of the older stories, revisiting them through the novels.
So was that the thing you were concentrating your writing on, Doctor Who, at that age? It was just that?
It wasn't just that, because I was also approaching other programmes like Shoestring.
Yes.
But the thing was, Doctor Who took me about 3 or 4 years, but it was always there. Other shows, you know, it started to look maybe a bit promising, but then they'd stop. You know, a show would normally run, a series would normally run for sort of 2 or 3 years, and then it wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
But Doctor Who, I think I was having a crack at it for maybe 3, 4 years, but it was still there 4 years later, you know, for Chris Bidmead and John Nathan Turner to give me the job.
Was it a case of, obviously, that you, like you say, you submitted a few scripts before Full Circle? Were you constantly getting feedback about the things you were submitting?
Yeah, it's because what happened? We had a script conference that covered the first episode, pretty much. Because what happened? I'd written a storyline, Full Circle, which was called "The Planet That Slept." That was the name, the title of the storyline, and the first scripts that I did.
Yeah.
And on the back of that, I spoke to Chris Bidmead, and he said, "Look, you live too far away." I was living in Glasgow then. "You live too far away to work on the show. You can't. It couldn't possibly work. But come down, and we'll have a chat about writing for television and what you might do next and all that sort of thing."
Yeah.
Then I turned up at Shepherd's Bush, and one of the first things he said was, "Right, what we'd like to do is commission you to write a scene breakdown and a script for the first episode, and if we like those, we'll go for all four episodes." which had me kind of bouncing backwards, really.
I was quite surprised.
But then we had, then that was February 1980, and it was then Chris and John and I sort of huddled down and had a chat around the shape of the first episode and introducing Adric into the story. It's quite different from the storyline, the narrative of the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I took that away, and Chris wrote up the meeting. He sent me his notes, which I still got. I did that. I did the scene breakdown. I'm sure. I did the script of the first episode, and then sent it off. And a week later, I got the phone call saying we like it, and we'd like the other episodes, please.
Were you still at school at this stage?
Oh, I think I'm trying to think. I think I was. Yeah, 1980. No, I'd left. I think I was at university at that point.
Yeah. So technically you're still in education, what a thing to start your CV with, though.
It wasn't too bad. I'd done radio comedy before that.
Yeah.
But it was a fantastic thing to happen. And it was in the gift of, you know, Chris and John. I'm eternally grateful to them both.
Well, so they had the foresight to, you know, to take it on and yes.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I mean, Chris had to do quite a bit of work on it. Mm. But it was great fun. He was a great partner through the whole thing.
So the introduction of Adric, obviously, I have to ask about Adric. Was that something that you were asked to put into it, and that's something they decided they're going to bring this character in? You got to work it into the story.
Yes. Yeah. There was a one page. Synopsis of this character of Adric, and it was involved that he his brother was part of a street gang who died saving the doctor.
Yeah,
That became Varsh. Off the top of my head, I can't remember too much more about it just at the moment. Mm. But there was this one page outline of who Adric was as a character, really. Also, no mention of the Starline or all those areas or anything that came full circle. But I had this character, the new companion, that I was asked to introduce in my story, which is another bonus, really, you know, introducing a companion, whatever people may think of him.
Yes.
That was quite good as well.
And was he actually brought to the screen in the way that you envisaged when you wrote the character?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think Matthew did a good job on Full Circle. The character that I wrote was the character that appeared on screen.
Oh, that's good then.
Not always the same character that recurred in other stories.
No.
Part of the problem with Adric.
Mm-hmm.
You
basically played it as you wrote it for Full Circle.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you either like him or hate him. I mean, at the time, how old would I have been? 1981, wasn't it? Or 80 when this series went out.
1980.
So I'd have been about 14. They didn't let everything out, the cat out of the bag, so much about the plots in those days. So basically, you sit down and watch it on the Saturday evening, and you didn't know, oh, there's going to be a new companion. You might have had a hint of it in the papers, but this character would come into a story, and then at the end of the story, he stays in the TARDIS.
There was quite a bit of publicity. I remember the photo shoot. I remember seeing Matthew in costume for the first time, and there was quite good coverage in the papers, I think, that it was announced that he was going to be the companion. But the publicity just was photographs of him in the costume, in the pyjamas, and jumping off a wall, I think. And the word that, this is Matthew Waterhouse going to be playing Adric, the new companion. And not much more than that.
Yeah, very, from the very thin. But I don't expect I would have read all that, because I would have just sort of sat down and watched it on the Saturday evening. Obviously, might have been the newspapers. I can't even recall having a lot of newspapers in the house.
Right. I mean, even people who were in the fan clubs at the time, pretty much you knew nothing about the new serial before it started, apart from what was in the Radio Times, you know.
And that's quite a nice thing, that not having any idea what was going on.
You can pine for those days, actually.
Yeah. Talking about the pyjamas, was that something that the costume designer decided on, or was that sort of partly your doing?
Yeah, there were only two elements of the costume that were in my script, and that was that he was wearing the badge of mathematical excellence.
Yep.
And the Marsh belt, the Reed belt that the gang wore, that he would receive at the end of the story, his yep. brother's Marsh belt that he went on to wear.
And of course, the badge was retained and used in his final episode as well.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
It was a nice touch.
Of course, that was a good story. Very good.
Oh, yeah.
Very
good. Mm. Well, in hindsight, you know, Adric was quite an important character in Doctor Who, and yeah, I mean, he played what he was, which was a sort of a adolescent,
yeah, you
know, a bit moody adolescent, very sort of his age, wasn't he? And I think that continued rather well through. And it wasn't really Matthew's fault that subsequent writers didn't actually use him enough in storylines to a certain degree.
Yeah, I don't think even the character deserves some of the vilifications going on.
Oh,
no.
But
I think, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, he was an adolescent trying to find his way.
Yeah.
And that could even be used to, you know, to explain.
Very, very long way from home as well.
Yeah, yeah. It would have been nice to have seen him last for a little bit longer as
yes.
a old companion. Or even to last for a little bit longer. But certainly, you know, if you could have one or two more stories with just himself and Tom Baker, that could have been an interesting.
Yeah, that has been said that the interaction when it was just them two in a scene, and to a certain degree just him and Peter Davison in the scene, that works yeah. quite well.
Yeah.
But obviously with some dominant females coming into the series, it did tend to sort of push him to one side, as it probably would do in real life anyway.
Good character. Tegan was a great character.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. And obviously his death was particularly well played by all
yes.
all involved.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So, but yeah, it's a shame. Like I say, he didn't last very long at all. But he certainly bridged that gap. And I mean, some of the stories were some of the best. I mean, you know, look at Logopolis and obviously Earthshock. Again, it's one of the best of that sort of era. And Full
yeah,
Circle very, again is one of the best of series 19. So,
yeah.
Yeah. He is sort of probably sort of a bit. They've been a bit hard on him in some ways.
And in some corners. And there are still the Radric fan sites out there.
Are there? I'll have to look for them.
Yeah.
So, were you on set during any of the filming?
Yeah, I was at the whole thing, because I was keen to learn about the technicalities of production as much as anything else.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the, you know, pure delight of actually seeing it being made, but also that thing of the technicalities of it, and JNT was aware of that, and so he arranged me to sit in on some of the editing of Megalos,
yes.
That was contemporaneous with being in studio for Full Circle. Megalos is being edited, so I went in the editing suite to watch that, and the various things like that John facilitated for me, again just for that insight into the technical side of the business.
Yeah.
Mm.
So when you were introduced to certain members of the cast, were you immediately introduced, oh, this is the writer? They sort of, was it, they were a bit, oh my goodness, so they were so young, or was there any sort of reaction in that way? A bit ageism?
I wasn't really aware of any ageism on Full Circle. I did come across it afterwards on a couple of other things.
Mm.
But I don't have a specific memory of that moment. When that would have happened would have been at the read-through, because I came to the read-through in acting, and the whole cast were there, and also I would have been introduced as the writer there. But although I remember the day, and I remember some of the conversation and some of the read-through, I don't have specific memories of any reaction to me.
It must be so much exciting things all happening at once.
Yeah, I do seem to remember, you know, I was trying to conduct myself as if, you know, just as being the writer, not as being a teenager.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Well, that's understandable.
So there might have been signals that I was immune to. I don't know.
It must have felt like a really long time, though, in between.
Sorry?
You know, it must have felt like a really long time in between the, you know, the whole process of submitting the script, it being accepted, then the filming scheduled, going on to set, and then it going to screen. It must have been quite a long process.
No, I don't know if it was really. Like I say, that first meeting was in February,
mm-hmm.
I probably had a couple of months to write the first draft.
Mm-hmm.
Then did the second draft. We had the final scripts in July. We were recording at the end of July. And then in the studio in August, and then it went out at the end of October. So it wasn't
fast, actually, yeah. A lot faster than I would have imagined.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
So when did you watch it at home when it went out on the telly? Or?
I have to, it's funny, I've got conflicting memories of it. I'm pretty sure I must have been there when the first episode was going out.
Hmm.
I've got a feeling other episodes, I actually was in town and came back and watched them a little bit later.
Yeah.
But, I'm pretty sure the first episode I was there and watching it.
So had you seen it in Russia's before it went on the television?
No.
Oh, no.
All I'd seen was when we were in the studio, I saw the film Russia's as they were being transferred over the videotape. And just thinking, they look stunning. Peter Grimwade and Max Sammet, the film cameraman did such a fantastic job on location. So I'd seen those, but I hadn't seen the edited program before it went out, no.
And of course, in those days, they want a lot of videotapes around to really keep it, so it must have been a bit of a while afterwards that you were able to watch it again.
No, I had a video recorder at the time.
Did?
The old Ferguson Video Star.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so that series was the first one I videoed. But... so I was able to watch it once or twice more, or seven or eight.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Of course, there was an amazing cast in this, supporting cast. We've got George Baker, and there was another actor there that played. What the hierarchy? I can't remember. The
Deciders.
Deciders. Oh, what a brilliant name for. Isn't the doctor says at some point, come on, you're the deciders, decide something. They were sort of quite ironic, wasn't it? Because they did have a bit of a problem deciding things.
Yeah, and they were always in it. And again, there are certain scenes that were always there through the drafts and things like when they introduced themselves to the doctor with the lights coming on and standing up in the dark. You know, that was all there and that all looked really good, I thought, and was so well performed. And. It was a real joy when I heard of some of the names, and Richard Willis and George Baker, I remember both of them, gave me a little thrill to think that they were going to be in it.
Yeah, of course.
I admired their stuff so much. I was very lucky with the cast as well. And Tom Lala did an excellent job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course, did you know at this stage that Lala and K-9 were sort of coming to the end of their time in the series?
I can't remember.
Because obviously K-9 came under some particularly violent treatment in this story, didn't he?
Which was all my own idea. I was not so keen on K-9, I'm sorry, I know.
Oh, no wonder John Nathan Turner fell in love with you there.
if anything, I wish I could have managed it in episode one. But, I think there must have been a conversation where it was mentioned that K-9 was going out, because I'm pretty sure we knew about that before the story was broadcast. I think must have discussed it, but it wasn't really relevant to Full Circle. Full Circle, it didn't affect anything in Full Circle.
Because they say obviously a lot of these stories had him, of this series, so he had him either exploding or having going malfunctioning or having bits come off him or something.
I think that. That was partly at the direction of John slash Chris, and partly also, I suspect, I don't know, but because the writers didn't like him very much. I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
Yeah, of course.
But,
yeah.
It's
ironic because obviously, when I was at that age, I was always wanting to see K-9 in action, and very excited when he was in the stories quite a lot. And in this series, obviously, that wasn't the case, but even so, he was in them, and it was nice to see him. And it was in for 3 years, but it didn't seem that long at the time.
And there were times he worked really well. I mean, he worked very well in his first story. I think he worked very well in The Sunmakers.
The Sunmakers, that's very definitely good. A good K-9 story, that one.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In Sarah Jane Adventures, they utilised him much better, perhaps, obviously, with the advancements in technology.
Yeah. Oh, it worked really well in the new series.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's amazing that such a retro thing could still be you know, fit into the modern day television, really.
Yes, without being updated at all.
Exactly. Well, they have updated in Australia, haven't they?
I think in the internals might have been, but it's not.
Absolutely. One of the actors that played one of the deciders, can't remember his name, but he was also in the War Games.
Jim Bree.
The voice is very, very sort of distinctive. Did quite stand out, and he hasn't changed much actually, considering the 11-year gap between the two stories.
No, not at all. No longer with us, unfortunately.
Is he not?
So many of the cast, actually.
No, that's right. Yeah. So obviously the story's gone out, and so what happened to you immediately after Full Circle? How did things develop from then on?
I was a professional writer for 4 years. I did other things, plays for television and radio.
Yes.
Some development stuff as well, and there were did quite a bit of sketch work actually.
Yeah.
I'd started the first thing I'd done anywhere actually was on the radio sketch show Weekending.
Yeah.
And I was still at school for that. I think it was about 14 or 15 when I did that. I carried on doing quite a bit of that on things like Not the 9 o'clock News and Three of a Kind, and I was a staff writer on 2 series of Kick Up the 80s.
Oh, excellent. All shows I used to watch too.
Fondly remember. I found, I was on the loft recently and found a box full of old sketches actually, and sat there in the loft, sort of flipping through them and make myself laugh from time to time. But that was good as well. I worked with Robbie Coltrane before anyone knew who Robbie Coltrane was, and Rick Mayall as well, who was Kevin Turvey.
Yes, of course, yes. Like Kick Up the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah.
Mm.
Brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
And have you done some recent Doctor Who stuff?
Yeah, for Big Finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, after the DVD of Full Circle, the East Base Trilogy came out in 2009,
uh-huh.
I think. I was at a Doctor Who convention in Glasgow. I was invited to this convention in Glasgow and met David Richardson there, producer of Big Finish.
Yeah.
Who asked if I'd be interested in writing for them, and speaking first of all about a story he knew I'd been commissioned for. I was commissioned at the end of Peter Davison's run to do this Santarin story for Colin Baker and Nicola Bryant.
Yeah.
For their first full series. And that got to Scene Breakdown stage.
Yeah.
And he knew about this and he asked me about it. And I nearly shot it down straight away because I said, I don't know. I don't think the BBC would let you do it because it's about the origins of the Santarins. And I just don't think they, you know.
Yeah.
But I think, mug. What was I saying that for? But. But what then happened is a couple of months later, David got back to me and said, how would you like to do a companion chronicle, which is one of the single disc audios that they do for Romana 2, so for Lala. So I did that, and that was became The Invasion of E-Space, which came out October 2010, I think that was. That was good fun. I was really pleased as well because again it'd been a long time since I'd completed a commission like that, and I was very pleased with it. Very pleased with it, and now got another one coming out in the summer.
Oh, excellent!
Which is that story that I was discussing with David initially up in Glasgow with the first Santarins.
Yes,
it's called. That was initially, as I say, intended for Colin Baker's first full season as a Sixth Doctor.
Yeah.
That was replaced with the Two Doctors Santarin story by Robert Holmes at the time.
Oh, right.
But it's finally going to be heard.
So it's obviously a Sixth Doctor story still.
I'm sorry?
Is it still a Sixth Doctor story?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah, with Colin and Nicola. And another very good guest cast as well. Chloe Anthony Hills and Lizzie Roper and Dan Starkey, Santarin from the TV series.
Really? Is he playing a Santarin in the actual story?
He's playing a Santarin or two.
Oh, brilliant.
He's our hero Santarin in this.
Of course, you don't get a lot of actual character acting crossovers between Big Finish and the TV series.
No, I was quite surprised, actually. Yeah. Very, very pleasantly surprised. It's a great performance from him. Yeah. And he's the loveliest of people as well. He's a very, very nice guy.
So you've been up to Big Finish Towers then?
Yeah, I was in the studio for the recording of that as well.
Excellent.
And it's quite something, actually. There's there are a couple of scenes, you know, would be pretty much, if we'd done it at the time, these scenes would be now pretty much as they would have been then.
Yeah.
And there's a scene early on in episode one as Colin and Nicola were acting it out. I was sitting there kind of staring at the space and thinking, fantastic, you know, 30 years on. Here we are. We got the Doctor. We got Perry acting out these lines that were intended for them years ago. And it's fantastic that Big Finish and have now created this range that allows these stories to be told now.
Absolutely.
And I just hope people like it.
I'm sure they will. I mean, obviously, Full Circle is still, you know, one of those classics that you look back on. Obviously, Series 19 in itself is, you know, one that's looked back fondly from Doctor Who fans. I don't think there's any duffers in the whole series, is there, really? It's a sort of one of the most consistent series, I think, of the classic era.
I suppose it's hard for me to be subjective about it, to be objective about it. But, I thought it was a really good run. And I can't say... I would have liked to have seen Chris Bidmead get at least one more series under his belt.
Yeah.
I think Chris did some wonderful work.
Because I think his last one was Frontiers, wasn't it, his last story?
Yeah. He's done some great work. And the novelizations of his story that he's written are very good as well. If people are unfamiliar with them, they should track them down. And the audio recordings as well. Maybe starting with Castrovalva, which is a fantastic audio experience, great storytelling.
Yes, I've heard about the brilliance of the audio novels and the readings of the
The Target books.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got that bit,
well,
right.
That's something else I did. I novelised Full Circle.
Yeah.
And again, for my kids, hopefully one day they'll get around to producing an audio version of that. Because I've got two young girls.
Yeah.
And it's nice. All this is nice. For them,
yeah.
You know, it's just a simple thing like the interview with me on the DVD. It's nice to just, when that came out, to put it on and put it on the TV, and then they see it come up and they go, oh, that's Dad. You know,
I've seen that.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about the DVDs, isn't it? You get the audio commentaries, you get the interviews, and all the background parts of the story as well as the actual story itself. So it really does enhance the experience.
Yeah. And I've enjoyed as well seeing... You know, people who were in it, who were on the documentary, speaking so fondly of it. And if, as an aside, actually, speaking of people who were in it, that New Year actually met up with Andrew Forbes, who plays Omril in the story. That was around at Nicola Bryant's place at New Year, actually. And she didn't let me know he was coming. As a surprise, he turned up. And so we were sort of chewing the fat about our experiences making the programme. And eventually then put on Full Circle and kind of did a commentary for the room.
Excellent. I was thinking about doing a commentary for the story tonight, but I'm sure we've already done that. 1.5 hours probably be a little bit too much to hope for.
Possibly. Yeah.
It's quite interesting because there's a scene in which Romana is holding what looks a little bit like an iPad.
Funnily enough, when we were watching it, Nicola Bryant made that comment. There is a bit. Is it Lala? I think it's a bit where the Outlers are.
Yeah, they enter the TARDIS
on the ship. I think. June
and
Page.
one of them's got a dagger, and she's got what looks distinctively like an iPad, and she's got a little stylus or something.
That is
writing.
What Nicola pointed out, and then the same thing appears later on. But you're right; it does look very much like an iPad. I've been meaning to get a screen grab of it and tweet it actually.
Well, the text on it looks more like a Kindle, actually, when you look at it like that. But it's certainly iPad-shaped. It's an amazing bit of forethought, that was.
Yeah. I don't know who'd have done that. Maybe John Brace.
Show that to Apple and get some money back, I'll say.
Yeah, exactly. BBC got their BBC Props Department got there first.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. Mm. So what's on the horizon, then? Apart from obviously the Big Finish stuff you already told.
Well, I don't know. I haven't. The last script I did was the first Centaurans. In my day job, I'm a police officer, and there's some things over the last year. I've moved into a new post and a lot on, and I've got some ideas I want to pitch to Big Finish, but I want to be sure I can devote the proper time to something. And there was a period, there was always something coming up at work or whatever, but I've now got a window where I'll put them in and I'll see. I mean, I you know, not to say that Big Finish will pick up on any of them, but I'll do that, and I'll look at some other options.
Yeah, well, it's lovely to really have that sort of option to do that. I mean, obviously, when I wrote a novel 10 years ago, and it was published. Subsequently, six quiz books followed after that.
Yeah,
and I was obviously at the time very busy writing them, and that's all dried up because my publisher realised that if he wrote the quiz books himself, they'd make more money out of them. So, but it's still out there.
What's it called?
It's called The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin. That's not out of print. Bit of pride for me that
you're out there, mate.
Oh,
you're
absolutely.
Yeah.
I just wish I could get my teenage daughter to read it. She read about half of it. She's not very good with reading. She prefers to go on Facebook.
My girls are 9 and 6, and Amy, who's 9, you know, she's read the Full Circle novelisation. She'd read the first and transcript and acted it out. And
excellent.
In fact, she's actually writing her own little scripts.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, you know, just for her own enjoyment.
Yeah.
But I'm very proud of both of them. And
I was trying to explain to my daughter that the fuel of writing is reading, and that's when I was doing most of my writing is when I was reading, and I don't do a lot of reading now either. So there you go. I suppose one breeds to the other.
And also, I think you know, the nature of Doctor Who, the programmes and the novels, is that they've inspired the imaginations of young people who've gone on to be professional writers.
Absolutely. I mean,
Fan fiction. You know, you're not even professional writers.
Absolutely. Yeah. An amazing amount of fan fiction that's out there, written by now,
and at the moment as well.
Yeah. No, people like Moffat and RTD were all writing fan fiction a long time before they became, you know, successful professional writers. And so that's amazing.
Yeah. And of course, even Moffat produced that photograph, or his father sent that photograph that then appeared in the magazine of him sitting reading one of the old Target books on the beach.
That's right.
And again, for people of a certain age, and I'm of that age as well, but you know, the Target books in the years before video, the Target books were you know, your way into the history of the program.
Yeah,
your way of enjoying stories again because there was no video.
With your novelisation of Full Circle, was it nice to be able to sort of add bits to it?
Yeah, there was various little pieces added. There was a sequence of a couple of the Outlaws running through the mist and getting dragged into the swamp, and just little bits of extra detail, and you could expand on it, make it a little, you know, make the canvas a little broader. And there was a sequence towards the end of sort of explaining the Marshmen a little better, I think, as being kind of the guardians of nature on the planet. You know, suggesting the interconnectedness of the flora and the fauna on the planet. It's let's flesh it out a little bit. But it was I thoroughly enjoyed writing it.
Yeah.
And then I hadn't read it for years. So my daughter asked me to read it to her a few years ago. Now there's a bedtime story, and I was quite pleased with my.
Yeah, that's what I get when I sort of read bits of the novel, because obviously it's quite an old book now for me, but when I actually have a look at it and I start reading it, sort of you think, oh, actually, this is actually quite good.
I suppose with time, you know, you can come back to it, having forgotten the detail, you can go back to it with some objectivity, I guess.
The only last thing I was going to say was there's been some, the Marshmen costumes are a bit sort of criticised, I suppose, in some ways. And I mean, of the time, I think they're actually quite good.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised when it turned out. I think they look okay.
I think they looked better on location than they did in studio.
Yeah, Yeah, possibly. I mean, they were built around wetsuits, and they had to be because of the sequence where they come out of the marsh, and I think that looked so good.
Yes.
I was really, really pleased with how that looked at the end of the day. It was worth any number of shots of like the cuffs of the costume or whatever they were, because it did look so good, that shot.
Of course, there was another really good shot of the decider being dragged into the marsh as well, down the muddy embankment.
That was a stuntman, Stuart Fell.
Yeah, brilliantly done.
Really good job. And again, brilliantly filmed by, directed by Peter Grimwade and filmed by Max Sammet. Great job.
Excellent stuff.
Mm.
Oh, Andrew, it's been absolutely wonderful. I could have gone on for another couple of hours, but I'm sure you want to return to your evening in front of the telly.
My pleasure. It's been a bit of a first for me, because I've done this on my iPad. It's the first time I've used Skype on the iPad.
And, really? That was really good. Another little advert for Apple on our show.
Yeah, I think my daughter wants to keep ringing me up on it. So this has been the field test.
Well,
Adam, thanks very much.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure. Continuing good, best of luck with the podcast.
Thank you very much.
For listening in. Yeah,
All the best, mate. Thank you.
All the best.
Bye. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.